Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the old trees and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest, and I felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's go back to school, shall we? Yeah, this is the best song I could find.
We are going to school. It's gonna be great. A whole day of learning, I just can't wait.
Wow, them lyrics. This is Wretched Radio. They just don't write the kids' songs like they used to. The Flintstones jingle, for instance, a piece of genius, best lyrics ever, cartoon or otherwise. Let's ride with the family down the street through the courtesy of Fred's 2 feet. Now that is a jingle. If I could paint a figure eight, it would be great. Now there's a jingle. Dora the Explorer. Now there's a jingle, I'm telling you.
There's a song in Dora the Explorer that absolutely amazes me. And I wish I had been at the pitch meeting where it was approved. So did you get a chance to work on a song? Yeah. Well, I remember now. Yeah, we're working on one. Don't worry about it. Why don't you go ahead and sing it for us then? Yeah, okay. Sure, if you want that now. All right, here we go. I'm the map, 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 I'm the map!
Genius! Genius right there! Maybe it isn't the jingles that are making the kids dumb. I don't know. Maybe it's the cell phones. Yeah, I know there's some other reasons, like, you know, some of the academic programs that don't focus on reading, writing, and arithmetic. Or the new math, or the, why don't we come up with a new way to read? Have you seen the new math? I'm telling you, it is perplexing. It takes more work to multiply 7 times 7 than anybody ever dreamt. It's complicated, confusing, and no wonder the kids are bewildered by it. We should do that with map. You see, not with map.
See, it gets in your head.
It sure does. With reading, that's what it, when you're reading a map, that's, see, I was just trying to save time right there. What? Okay, so what you do is you take the third letter of each word and then you put a space, a little bit of space on the left side, a lot of space on the right side. And then you go take the first letter of each word and you put that times 3 of those spaces on each side to the left and to the right of it. And that, and you'd go, how's about you teach them how to read? Ditto math. How's about you teach them a times table? Addition. I know we've got our cell phones, which indeed might be the culprit in our education system. Let me take you to Broward County. Public school district decided to do something brave. There was another, the only other community that I'm aware of that did this was in England. No, Ireland. There was a community. It looked as Irelandy as Ireland can look. And they did, the parents decided we've had enough of our kids being distracted, not learning, and getting downright dumber when they go to school because they are allowed to use their, fill in the blank, cell phones. And Broward County, like a county in Ireland, decided, let's be done with it. You turn them in before school. I'm sure they've got different rules for it. We just assume these days you have to have a cell phone. I mean, how will I get in touch with you? Well, how have we done it for, I don't know, thousands of years? Smoke signals are still available. You could call them on a landline or, I don't know, sometimes we could just wait and talk when we're face to face. No, we got to have, I got immediate. I've got to be able to get a hold of my kid straight away. Jimmy, did you have a cell phone when you were a kid?
I did
Was
not.
Your mother ever in a panic that she wouldn't be able to reach you or that you couldn't call her during the day?
No.
Some people argue, well, what if there's a school shooting? And I understand that it would be great for the kids to be able to call. Having said that, is it possible that cell phones in school is just plain a bad idea? At least the total free use of a cell phone. Broward County decided, we've had enough of this. And while I grant you, this is anecdotal from the Gateway Pundit, they interviewed some teachers, some principals in Broward County, and guess what? They're discovering the kids actually seem to be paying more attention to the lectures. Huh? That's kooky. The kids are having deeper conversations because they're thinking about one thing for a longer amount of time. Instead of bing, 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 constantly being distracted, bouncing all over the place, checking out my this or that and watching a really, really super important video of a turtle that was flipped upside down and the dog tried to turn it over. I had to watch that while the teacher is lecturing. And they're discovering the kids are now paying attention and engaging more and thinking a little deeper. Their test scores are even going up. Furthermore, and I thought this is so interesting. I don't know that this gets talked a lot about when it comes to kids and cell phones. Guess what other activity has seen a sharp decrease, at least from this article, in the Broward County public school system? Jimmy, let me just see if you can guess. The kids are no longer doing this activity as much because they don't have their cell phones. They're attributing it directly to the cell phone. You're thinking, well, watching pornography.
Yeah.
Well, that's, can't be doing that without a cell phone. Now, can you? Nope, but that's not it. Can you guess?
No, I can't.
Fighting.
Really?
Fighting. Because apparently, a lot of these fights get organized in advance. And so they plan it. They set up the time. They strategize it. And then the fights break out. And what do the kids do? They record it. And then they put it up on social media so that they can get, well, whatever it is, whatever the enjoyment is that we get out of putting up a video, even if it's of other people, that gets a lot of views or clicks or friends or likes. They're not doing it as much anymore. The lack of cell phones leads to fewer fights with fewer people that last fewer minutes. That's fascinating because the kids, rather than recording the fight when it does break out, they actually jump in and stop the fight. What a world we live in. Furthermore, cyberbullying is down. Cyberbullying, which can also lead to fights, by the way, but cyberbullying, which is a type of fighting where people post the nastiest things about other students on the internet. And I know somebody, not going to say her name. I know somebody who works in the school system, a public school system, and she works in an office where the kids are coming in all day to complain about, you guessed it, cyberbullying, where kids talk about other kids. They create a new, what's the, Jimmy, when you text to a bunch of people, that's called a group chat. That's right, it, yes, right? Yes. Yep, that's, don't you worry, I did my homework for this, the group chat thing. And you get cut out of it. They're bullying me. And the majority of the issues, according to, this is anecdotal too, that she deals with, are kids who are feeling like they are being bullied on the internet. Broward Schools is discovering, hey, this is a good thing to get rid of these things. I had a teacher write to us and say, for the first time in 10 years, for each student in her classroom, she actually had two eyeballs watching her give a lecture. Huh, fancy that. The release said the ban also eliminates the opportunity for students to have pictures and videos captured of them by other students without their permission during the school day, which minimizes inappropriate use of social media. Well done, Broward County Public Schools. May more schools follow in their footsteps. And if you amend that, mom and dad, you maybe just walked into a trap, man, and you won't be able to get out. What about you banning your kid's cell phone? certainly there must be effects outside of the classroom when kids use their cell phone. Are they doing chores? Are they expected to do things around the house? Do they have to go get a job to pay for the cell phone? Are they volunteering at church? Do they help out with the babysitting? And that's just one aspect of it. What about the aspect of the downloading of information that they receive all day, every day, that is contrary to you? And even when it isn't contrary to you, I do believe that it feeds something inside of us that is reinforced through all sorts of messaging in our therapeutic culture. And that is, this is your world. You are, nobody else is involved. Nobody else is on the planet. A lot of those people drive in Atlanta, by the way. This cell phone, it allows me to create my own little world. And you tell me to put it down, and you're terrible. You tell me that I've got a bad idea. You're terrible because the cell phone is reinforced. It's all about me. If we like the idea of schools not allowing cell phones, mom and dad, just asking, what about our homes? This is Wretched Radio.
Marriage and parenting, beautiful gifts from God, but let's be honest, they're not easy. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're wondering if you're doing it right, listen, you're not alone. And more importantly, there's hope. Pastor Brad Bigney understands these challenges. With 36 years of biblical counseling experience and over 3 decades of shepherding his church, he brings you God's timeless wisdom each and every week on Thrive.
To be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God.
And this isn't just another how-to show. Pastor Brad Bigney and Thrive reveals the truth about your marriage. It's a living picture of Christ's relationship with his church. And your parenting, it's a divine calling to disciple the next generation. As Pastor Brad says, your home wasn't designed to just survive. God created it to thrive. Find Thrive with Brad Bigney right now at FortisPlus.org or all major podcast platforms.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's Word now more than ever at FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
Know your church fathers. Basil of Caesarea was the bishop of Caesarea in the 4th century. He was a defender of orthodoxy and wrote several important works proving the divinity of the Holy Spirit and refuting the Arian heresy. Most importantly, he introduced the Trinitarian formula, describing God as one being and three persons. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Please do not listen to this radio program if there is a feather within 100 yards of you. You've been warned. This is Wretched Radio. Get ready to be knocked over with a feather. From the public discourse, you'll never guess what plays a large role in academic achievement. Faith and family. No, you're kidding. No way. A family and people who believe that they have to submit to a higher authority, that helps with academics. We aren't surprised by that, but the world doesn't seem interested in talking about that. The world simply seems to think if we just spend more money on government schools, the kids will do better. And I think we've seen demonstrably that is simply not true. They're not doing better. Test scores are down. Now, While I would like to think that testing started to become easier after I was done being educated, the reality is the testing that I took, which is harder than the testing the kids take, was not as hard as the testing my parents took. And their grandparents had harder tests. You want to do something that is going to make you feel D-U-M-M ignorant? Go look, go use the Google machine. Jimmy, go ask your AI Google friend to find some tests. Let's do math tests. From 1925, 100 years ago, 1925, some standard math tests for a fifth grader. Fair enough?
All right.
Which is probably about where I'm at with mathematics. And you're going to hear, I'm confident that it used to be harder. We have dumbed it down. We have made it easier for kids, and yet their test scores continue to fall. Might there be something more to it than mere funding? This article reveals the conversation that is simply not being had, that academic achievement starts in the home. It starts with a mom and a dad. It starts with stability. And interestingly, God. From the article, there are two schools of thought regarding how best to eliminate the achievement gap. Now, this is between different ethnic groups. We want everybody to be going up, right? Everybody going up. That's what all boats floating. That's what we're about. The first group calls on society to focus its attention on eliminating opportunity gaps, saying that's going to lead to higher academic achievement amongst disadvantaged students. Includes factors such as being a member of a racial minority, discrimination, poor nutrition, inadequate health care, and not having access to high-quality public education. Coming from a family in which the parents are poorly educated or do not speak English, and lack of internet and computer access. Now, is there a born-again Christian on the planet who, knowing that there is a lack or a need for any child, wouldn't say, well, let's fix that? To that I say, amen. That's kind of a no-brainer. But that's the first group of people. That's the problem. Those issues are the direct causal reason. I guess it was redundant. Are the direct reason for the achievement gap. If they're suffering in one of those areas, they're not going to do as well. But there's a second group of schoolers and community leaders focused on reducing the achievement gap. They agree. Addressing opportunity gaps must be a part of the solution. But it's more complex than that. Rather than just opportunity gaps, the achievement gap group emphasizes that personal decisions parents and children make regarding school have a considerable impact on the achievement gap. You mean it's important for parents to be responsible for the education of their kids? How involved will parents decide to become? How much will the household decide to emphasize faith in God and the sense of purpose in life and working hard to realize that purpose and please God? Then the kids do better in school. because they have those foundational things in place. And yet these days, we aren't talking about those issues much. And the meta-analysis, according to this article, again, this is from the Public Discourse, 30 studies examined attempts to reduce the achievement gap. It combines all the relevant existing studies to determine the results, the aggregated results. You want to hear the surprising results? One, the importance of family and faith. It doesn't, these other issues, they go to the background when family and faith are in place. The family elements that were most strongly associated with a reduction in the achievement gap were coming from a two biological parent family and high levels of parental involvement. Are you shocked? No. There are many dedicated single parents. We want to identify that and recognize that. But the reality is when one parent has to do the role of two, it's just more difficult. Furthermore, faith in God, in addition to family structure, has a significant impact on a child's academic performance. Regularly attending church. Defining oneself as being a very religious person yielded the most significant reductions in the achievement gap. Why? Well, I think the article teased it. There's a reason to go to school. There's somebody watching all the time. My parents can't see me on the bus, but God can. I have a responsibility to more people than just my parents. People in church ask me how school is going. And they hopefully learn that we get educated because God is, well, I'll say it, educated. He's all intelligence. And as an image bearer, we strive to be like him. That's why we go to school. The meta-analysis revealed that if an American, African-American or Latino student was a person of faith and came from a two biological parent family, the achievement gap totally disappeared. Totally, even when adjusting for socioeconomic status. That shouldn't surprise us, but it's still a little breathtaking, isn't it? God's design for family always produces fruit. Always. Jimmy, you got that AI test from fifth grade math?
I do.
1925.
Yep. Okay, so...
This is going to be a terrible mistake, but go ahead.
A farmer planted 5 acres of corn.
Here we go.
Each acre yields 120 bushels of corn.
Oh, great.
How many bushels of corn will the farmer harvest in total?
Okay, so wait a second. There's 5 acres, and each acre, it does what?
120 bushels.
So okay.
How many bushels will the farmers...
Will farmer, the 600?
I guess.
Yes. But yeah, I had to figure, okay, so it wasn't just a straightforward math. It was take the number of bushels times the number of acres.
That's right.
That one was pretty easy.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's fifth grade.
That's right.
Oh, you know what we need to do? You need to go look up 2025 fifth grade math.
Okay.
But keep going. Give me another one because I'm feeling rather good about myself.
These are all agricultural too. A local market sells 10 dozen eggs for $3.
Oh, no.
That's not today, for sure. If a farmer sells 5 dozen eggs to the market, how much money will he earn?
Okay. So I see. So that would be 10. So he's getting 30 cents. And how many did he sell?
5 dozen.
5 dozen. Mm-hmm. $1.50?
That's right. Look at you.
Yeah. All right, just for yucks, go try to find 2025.
Okay.
Let's just see the difference, shall we? The conclusion from this particular report, with the hundreds of billions of dollars that have been poured into reducing the achievement gap with marginal success, working to improve family and faith would likely be much more effective in reducing racial and socioeconomic achievement gaps. We do not have to have an either-or scenario. It can be both and, but it needs to be both. It must be both, because that's the way that God designed it. This is the way the universe operates. This is one of God's spiritual metaphysical laws. when there's a mom and a dad, when they are setting their eyes higher than self or watching Netflix, they believe in God. Guess what? Their kids are blessed by it. That is what helps kids achieve academic success. You got one, Jimmy?
I do. Are you ready for this?
I've got my pen at the ready.
I don't know if you need that.
Hurry up.
If I wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. I leave my house at 8:30. Mm-hmm. What time did I leave the house?
You're making that one up.
I'm not.
You are too. Please. It hasn't gotten that bad. Mom and dad, be encouraged. Your kids need a mom and dad. When we have the conversation about the academic gap that exists in our country, let's take care of the kids' needs. But what do you know? Lo and behold, knock me over with a feather. Their greatest need are involved parents and faith in God. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institutes. While a sweeping transformation of America's military began as President Trump signed 4 executive orders addressing everything from missile defense to social policies, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth's first day saw the announcement of an ambitious Iron Dome for America initiative, aiming to shield our nation from advanced missile threats. The administration is tackling not just external threats, but internal policies that have undermined military readiness, eliminating DEI offices that prioritized identity politics over merit, reinstating service members discharged over vaccine mandates, and restoring biological reality to military personnel policies. Well, Senator Josh Hawley is moving to provide justice for minors harmed by transgender medical procedures, introducing legislation that would allow individuals to sue doctors and hospitals that perform these operations on them as children. The Missouri Senator's bill, aptly named the Protecting Our Kids from Child Abuse Act, gives victims up to 30 years after turning 18 to seek both punitive and compensatory damages. The timing syncs perfectly with President Trump's executive order blocking federal funding for hospitals performing such procedures. The scientific foundation for these policies gained fresh support from Canadian researchers who've concluded that evidence for youth gender transitions is so weak that benefits and harms remain impossible to determine. McMaster University's comprehensive analysis demolished the often repeated claim that these interventions prevent suicide, finding instead very low certainty about any positive effects. Findings emerge just as thousands of detransitioners begin sharing stories of permanent damage from rushed medical decisions. And on the international stage, America has rejoined the Geneva Consensus Declaration, aligning with 40 nations that recognize the fundamental right to life. This diplomatic reset arrives as internal tensions rock Planned Parenthood, where multiple officials have resigned in Missouri after deeming a new pro-abortion amendment insufficiently radical. Even their own leadership seems to be fracturing over how aggressively to push an agenda that most Americans reject. And that's today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. The book of Ecclesiastes is a philosophical and poetic reflection on life. The author teaches that no matter what, all men die and face God's judgment. Life, then, is full of vanity and despair. Anything that is pursued for its own sake is meaningless. But if we pursue God above all else, we can enjoy even mundane things as gifts from God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
As the world turns insane.
So she was designated, assigned, observed male at birth. She had this one headband she was completely observed. Attached to that she felt, I look back on it now and think to myself, gosh, I wonder when she put that headband on, she thought to herself, people see me for who I am. No one's going to misgender me now.
Yes. Yes. Very scientific, Mom. This is, oh, man, that is tragic. I'm sorry. There should be a Christian outrage to hearing that's a parent of a child who changed their little boy into a girl because the little boy wore a headband that apparently girls wear, which, by the way, we don't have boy and girl things anymore. Those are just cultural constructs. We're using those as markers to determine whether your kid is the right gender and then put them through years of torture. Manzilla. That's the type of testing that they do. It's all conversational. How do you feel? Man, I feel like a woman. All right, let's do it. Everybody, let's get the surgical room prepared. I'll write the prescription so that we can get the hormone blockers going. That's how you do it. Somebody feels a certain way. This is the type of testing that all too often happens with brutal consequences in the mental health industrial complex. Dr. Greg Gifford, he's one of our fellows here at Fortis Institute. He's written a book. It is coming out May 27th, is I think when the book hits, give or take, something like that. And it is a blockbuster because it exposes that mental health is simply not scientific. He shares a story of his son fidgeting in class. No, imagine that. He's 13 years old and he's got ants in his pants and he can't sit still. Oh, I know here's the other marker that clearly the kid has some sort of educational deficiency. Didn't always sign his name on his papers. Oh, wow, that's really scientific. And then when they encouraged Greg to take his son to get tested for this struggle that their son was having. Where did they take him for testing? You say, well, the hospital? No. Was it a medical facility? No. It was to the school psychiatrist who asked the kid some questions, observed while he maybe did some math equations, all observational. And Greg rightly asked the question, so when do the tests start? Well, these are the tests. Well, what about hair, blood, urinalysis, something, CAT scan, MRI, something? Before you label my child from the DSM-5? It is not medical. It is observational. Can't wait for Greg's book to come out. I'm telling you, it's going to be a blockbuster. And Greg also, it's being released in the month of May because that's Mental Health Month. And Greg is also going to be doing a webinar, more details later, but he's basically going to allow everybody to ask whatever question they want to ask. And I suspect a lot of it is going to have to do with the issue of psychotropics and kids and the medications that are being prescribed for people with anxiety and depression, which is all a sign that our nation is struggling. In fact, could it be that our society is dying from suicide? The most important news.com. Civilizations die from suicide. Here are 16 signs our society is doing exactly that. In the mid-20th century, a historian who studied the varying fates of 28 societies, so look back sociologically over history as best we can, and he concluded civilizations die from suicide, not from murder. In other words, a nation dies on the inside, not the outside. It isn't usually, sometimes a hostile invader most certainly can, but the reason most likely that barbarian is successful is because the nation is weakened on the inside. And when I was reading through this list, I went, whoa, this isn't good. All of the markers that other societies that used to stand tall, that are now shriveled. It looks like America's got them. Now, please note, I know that there's a lot of excitement right now, and I think we should be excited, quite honestly. It's been quite a week, hasn't it? There's many things to celebrate. I think there were at least three pro-life things that the president did his first week. Spoke at the March for Life rally. All positive Mexico City, which they call the gag law, which doesn't send our money overseas so that people can take the lives of their children and we pay for it. All really good stuff, but no legislation will change a human heart. And the ideologies and the social factors that are leading a nation to start to just darker and darker and darker morally, how we treat one another. Somebody needs to do a study on this. I wish somebody had 20 years ago walked, just taken a walk in the park. And after walking by 100 people, how many people made eye contact and said, "Hey, how you doing? Nice day, huh? Hey, they're putting in some new pavers up there." We used to do that. Now, I'll bet the number is wildly less. We don't talk to each other. The interaction, the care, the seems like the love for one another is growing cold. I've heard that someplace. Nevertheless, the human heart can only be transformed by the regenerating work of God. And so as we celebrate the good things that we see happening, let's not be deceived. Nobody gets saved from that. Furthermore, nobody's heart really gets changed. Unless somebody has an internal compass that guides them morally, there needs to be an external force. That is just the way that it always has worked and always will work. And if we don't see more changed hearts, we're just going to need more and more laws, more and more legislation, and we better hope that there's a good person leading it so that they make more good decisions than bad decisions. This isn't to be a party pooper, but let's be realists. Our civilization is hurting, starting with from the 16 signs of societies that crumble, suicide rates, the literal suicide rates, that people don't have a reason to live. I think another, probably in this list, yep, the number two, there it is, the birth rate. That is a sign of a nation that isn't hopeful. That's a sign of a nation that fears having children because I don't want to bring a kid into this miserable world that I'm experiencing. That's a sign of national death. Number three, we're rejecting the traditional family unit. That shouldn't be a shocker that that's what happens in nations. When families are broken up, when marriage is held in low esteem, the nation goes crumbling right after the family. Four, instead of valuing our kids, we're becoming an anti-child society. And it's more than just not having kids. It's the way that we're treating children now. We're letting children go under a knife. We're letting children watch pornography. And we've got corporations that are suing that they've got the right to free speech so that a six-year-old can watch what, well, nobody should be watching, frankly. That's how we treat. This is not a society that loves children. A society that doesn't want children to have a mom and a dad, that's not a society that loves children. And that is a sign that this is a nation that is... Now, here's one I know this is controversial, but nevertheless, a society that creates it so that both parents have to work, then what do? Somebody else has to watch their child. Now, if it's family, I think that's cool. Nevertheless, it's still not the ideal. It's good, but it's not the ideal. But how many parents have to send their kids to daycare? Can't we all agree it's better if parents are home taking care of their child, at least one of them? Biblically, we would say the mother. Number five, the number of abortions. It's actually higher now than it was before Roe v. Wade was overturned. Did you know that? Well, it's true. And a lot of it has to do with the use of abortifacients, oral contraceptives. That's not a nation that loves children. And these are just very, very bad signs. Tissue from aborted fetuses used for experiments. By the way, there's another good thing that happened, that David DeLeiden, apparently the charges against him were dropped. If that isn't just like perhaps the best example, the dude who went in undercover to discover that the docs are talking about how they sell baby parts for money. And Kamala Harris goes after him. Wow. What a world, what a world, which perhaps is just another marker of a society that's in really big trouble. Violent videos, the border, that's another sign. A criminal system that doesn't punish evildoers. Kids that are committing serious crimes. These are all markers that while we celebrate the good things that we're seeing this week, let's do that. Let's celebrate. But let's not forget, politics does not change the human heart, and it certainly doesn't change eternity. That's the job of you and me, the church. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Thanks to faithful supporters just like you, our new Fortis Institute podcasts aren't just reaching people, they're making waves. Every single one of our new shows ranks at least in the top 10% of all podcasts worldwide, some climbing even higher than that. From Integrated with Dr. John Krotz to Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, these programs are doing exactly what they were intended to do. They're touching lives and they're transforming hearts. But here's the thing, we can't continue this vital work without your help. As we face this brave new world together, I want to ask if you would consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Only if you're already faithfully giving to your local church, though, and not strapped by any type of unmanaged debt. If those areas in your life are in order, would you consider joining us? Because your support will help us produce even more life-changing content. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now. That's FortisInstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Big news from Fortis Institute. You know how we have eight fellows already bringing you free daily content at fortisplus.org? Well, starting February 7th, our very first fellowette will make her debut. Libby Glossett, one of the finest biblical counselors in the entire country, is coming on board. And you know, people might think we're trying to add a woman's voice to check some type of boxes or appease the feminists, but the truth is, we found one of this country's most incredible biblical counselors who just happens to be a woman. And her way of applying God's word to real life is extremely powerful. She'll be launching a weekly podcast and creating resources just for women. So if there's a woman in your life looking for solid biblical teaching, tell them to mark their calendars for February 7th and head to FortisPlus.org or go ahead and download Fortis Plus on their mobile device right now and be ready for Libby Glossin. FortisPlus.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teaches us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the wisdom of God. The wisdom of man says we can earn God's favor through good works, but the wisdom of God is made known in Jesus Christ. God in human flesh, put to death on the cross to grant us forgiveness we cannot earn. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
No, this is not the same opening.
As the world turns insane.
The students ask the other teacher if I'm a boy or a girl. And the teacher was like, does it matter? They're like, no, I just can't figure it out. That's the goal.
That's the goal. Indeed it is. Jimmy, did we ever play that video here on Wretched Radio? It was the woman, she did a TikTok thing or something, where she filmed herself acting like a teacher who came out to her students that she's straight.
Yeah, we did. I remember that.
Kids, this has been hard for me, but I made a decision that I need to let the world know I'm straight. And then everybody applauds for the teacher who came out as straight. What a world, what a world. The signs, they seem to be everywhere that we are a nation in need of regeneration. Hey, that ain't bad right there. That would mean, I think, right, we're a nation in need of regeneration. I could probably write a kid's jingle, what I could do. Poetry like that, the signs that our country, it's rotting from the inside, which is usually where nations crumble internally. At least according to sociologists, when they look back over history, they discover nations get weaker because the people change. And I think a big part of it, it's not the only thing. And I think we've talked about this before on Wretched Radio, that when a society becomes more affluent, It was something like parents who struggled become good citizens, but when they become successful, then they download that success and bless their kids which is a good thing, but it doesn't make the kids good citizens. In other words, hard work and struggle make you a good citizen. When it's easy, when it's kicked back, when there are little expectations, that doesn't make for good citizens. And I think we're seeing, it doesn't mean that you can't amass some form of wealth. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that if we make our kids' lives so easy that they don't have to work, appreciate it, all of these things that we observe in younger generations, I think a big part of it is because we've made life too easy. There's got to be, a pendulum can swing. Because I understand, you know, when I was your age and we want better for our kids, that's a good thing. But maybe too much of a good thing is actually a bad thing. By the way, if you would like to be helped in your journey to be a godly man, Way of Manhood podcast with Adam Tyson, get it, put it into your ears, listen to it, apply it. You will grow. You will become more mature. You won't be as confused about reality and life and decisions, where you're going, what the destination is, what this is all about. I can't commend it enough. Adam Tyson, Way of Manhood. You can get it wherever you do your podcast business. You can also get it on the Fortis app at fortisplus.org. I added to the list of the 16 signs that a nation crumbles from the inside what those signs are. This particular list, this is number 12 from the list of signs that a nation is in big trouble. They cite technology because of the distracted nature of technology, that we're dominated by something else, that we have become a slave to technology, which takes our eyes off of, you know, life. Number 13, just like ancient Greece and Rome, we've allowed sexual immorality to run rampant. Yep. Did you know that there are now 795,000 registered sex offenders in this country? 795,000. Number 16, thousands of churches have been permanently shutting down all over America. That's not necessarily a bad thing, mind you, but it's a part of a bigger trend. Good churches, bad churches, they're just struggling out there. I added some more. How's about truth? It's up for grabs. What is truth? How can you live in a world when you're told that yellow is purple? Broken families. Divorce is rampant. All signs that we're a nation in trouble. This is an article from the New York Times. Sometimes it's instructive to read unbelievers to try to understand what they're thinking and what they're experiencing. This is a message for girls about womanhood from the New York Times. Today's dominant cultural and social messages about womanhood are especially bleak. She regularly hears it's literally impossible to be a woman. Ooh, all righty. We thought Young men were the only ones that were struggling. Girlhood and female adolescence are treated like hurdles to overcome and route to a lifetime of persisting. Looming womanhood is something to stress over. A matrix of dire statistics about sexual violence, unwanted pregnancies, exacerbated by scare stories on social media. Girls are repeatedly told how women are discriminated against and abused, the victims of toxic masculinity. They hear about the pay gap, the lack of affordable childcare, and women are feeling like, yikes, do I have a chance? From The Times, given this grim outlook, who wouldn't bemoan or regret her sex? This is another sign of a hurting world. When women feel terrified to be a woman, if this article is representative of others, and I suspect that it is, then we have a cultural issue. And again, I'm sorry, politics isn't going to fix this problem. Quote, girls are already feeling stymied and dispirited. According to a 2023 survey, this is 17,500 girls, their self-confidence has plunged. Anxiety up. From the Centers of Disease Control, 53% of girls reported extreme depressive symptoms. What do we do with all of this? We see a society that is crumbling. Do we want to fix a society? Well, it's not our primary goal. It happens to be an effect of what should be our primary task. And that is the task of evangelism. That is the task of making disciples. That is the task of being a light. That's the task of being salty in a world. They're needing it. And I'm telling you, right now is the time for you, maybe for the first time, to engage somebody in a spiritual conversation. Hey, I was listening to this dopey dude on a podcast, a radio program called, well, it doesn't matter, because maybe wretched would be a little frightening for them. And they were talking about a New York Times article where the women are just really, really scared about being women. Do you ever feel like that? What do you think about something like where the depression rate is so high for women? That they're scared of the future. Do you ever feel that way? The door is open. And I'm telling you, people are desperate. I got it right here. Look at that. You'd think that we were organized. No, we wouldn't, Friel. This is from Christian Daily. There's a Bible app called YouVersion. They had 798,000 installations in one day. In one day. Largest increase in installs in nations in Africa, Asia, the Middle East. 198% increase in Ethiopia. 94% increase in app downloads in Egypt. Turkey, up 76%. Ghana, 65%. On and up, 48% in Pakistan. On and on it goes. The world is heavy. And they're looking for something light. And I don't mean it doesn't weigh much. They want some hope. And who has the market cornered on hope? We do. We literally have the market cornered on hope. We're the only ones who can actually offer hope to people. Because this is a world. Headline, emotional support robot. Romi, R-O-M-I, Romi, helps people fight loneliness and depression. But it comes at a hefty price tag. It is an artificial intelligence robot that can fit in the palm of your hand to provide comfort and understanding to users. Isn't that what they're advertising on TV? You just talk to it. Say anything you want. Tell them how you're feeling. And the computer has a chat with you. Sorry, that's not going to work for humans. We need humans. That's the we need humans. Humans need humans. People. People who need people. We can't get by with robots and artificial technology. But people for $570 with a $12 a month subscription fee can have themselves an electronic friend. For the rising problem of isolation, as a third of Americans feel lonely at least once a week. USA Today, feeling lonely? Here's how to cope. And this is what they say, by the way. Find your authentic self. Oh. how to have some self-discovery. Okay, here's what I discovered. My authentic self is lonely. They got nothing. They got nothing to help people. The gospel does. Maybe now, more than ever, it would be easy for you to actually share great news. What do you say, Christian? Until tomorrow, go serve your king.